In December, Chad Dawson announced he would be resigning as a board member of the Adirondack Park Agency, the state organization created 50 years ago to develop long-range land use plans for the Adirondack Park, a delicate task requiring the balancing of many competing interests. Following the announcement, the Adirondack Council said the departure would be a great loss for the board and credited him with speaking and acting in defense of wilderness. Chad Dawson is a retired professor of recreation resources management and co-author of Wilderness Management, Stewardship and Protection of Resources and Values, and was appointed to the Adirondack Park Agency by Governor Cuomo in 2016. And he spoke with us shortly after the new year about his time with the Adirondack Park Agency and much more. Welcome to the show, Chad.
Good to be here.
Before being appointed to the Adirondack Park Agency in 2016, what was your impression of the organization and your thought on its, difficult mission?
Well, actually, I was looking forward to the appointment because I thought the mission for the agency was critical. It had been, as you mentioned earlier, 50-some years since it had been created, and it was created to counterbalance development pressures at private lands, as well as development pressures on the public lands. And so I saw myself as fitting into that because I have both experience in teaching and research related to recreation development, as well as protecting resources, delicate environments, sensitive wild areas.
Yeah, it's funny. When I was talking to someone about your background, they were saying how you literally, you know, co-wrote the book on wilderness management. So it seems like this would be kind of the perfect fit for you. When you actually got onto the board, was it the right fit?
It was and it wasn't. It was in the sense that I had what they needed. Whether they made use of that or not was a whole other matter. And realizing that I was looking at things from a very different perspective, I was looking at what are the alternatives and consequences of different things, and usually more broadly than is typical in some of the proposals brought before the board. Also, I had done a lot of research. In fact, I'd volunteered and done paid research for DEC over the years, so I knew what they needed in the field. I was pretty well-versed, and this is for public lands, pretty well-versed in what it was that they did in their management planning process, since I had evaluated plans for them. So when I got on, I thought, oh, this is going to work. I can offer a contribution that they don't already have, and we can make a step forward in fulfilling the state land master plan, for example.
When you were appointed by Governor Cuomo to the agency, you got a warning from your predecessor about what things would be like. What was that warning, and do you think that was an accurate representation of how things ended up being?
To some degree, it was. My predecessor said that one day I would see that I had a rather naive notion about the relationship between the agency and the department, and that I might find that I needed to possibly step aside or possibly view it very differently, feeling that I was being naive about the politics that are so rampant in decision-making, and that there was less reliance on science and on actual research data.
How does politics inject itself into this process?
Well, it is an executive agency for the APA, and so the executive branch certainly has influence on what makes it onto the agenda, how long it's on the agenda, and so forth. So there is a certain element of that factoring into what is constituting a board meeting, and that's the executive privilege of that.
What made you decide to leave when you did, and had you made up your mind about resigning going into that December board meeting?
No, I hadn't really made up my mind before that board meeting, but what came out was that it became more, to me, egregious that they were making decisions, albeit not huge decisions as some others we'd seen in years before, but important ones in which they refused to look at the science involved in it. They refused to look at alternatives and just simply flat out stated that they wanted it the way the department wanted it, the way they wanted it. And they really didn't care to look at other alternatives or didn't care to look at all the data. Very simple example, campfires in a particular area were to be permitted. And previously, the department had correctly in 2015 stated that fires shouldn't be allowed in very sensitive environmental areas, and that's why they'd originally banned them. And then they were saying, well, we don't really have information, but we're going to let it happen in this area, and we'll kind of watch it. And if it gets bad, we'll reinstitute the ban. And my point was, if you knew that smoking caused cancer, would you need to do more research? Because there's 50 years of research on the impacts of campfires on a particular environmental area, both the gathering of wood and the, you know, searching for wood in the environment and then burning it. And it was those kinds of things that just said, okay, they don't really want to do this in a way to look at all the science and all the facts. They just want to move forward with what they see as their idea of development, regardless.
So with that rescinding of the campfire ban and an issue dealing with day use, did you just have enough at that point and just made a snap decision?
It was kind of a snap decision. I'd always looked at my term had been up for some period of time, and I'd always thought about, well, how will I know when I'm going to step off the board? And it just hit me that, well, I guess I know. It's right now. And again, it's regrettable that it was a snap decision. I couldn't finish up a few things. But on the other hand, I don't totally regret it because I had to step away. It was, to me, becoming quite a frustration that my interest was in monitoring and finding out, was something too much of a development? Were there impacts that were unsustainable? And some staff at APA and some staff at DEC, particularly field staff in both cases, understood that, had been trained in it, wanted to do that. But at upper levels in DEC, there was no willpower to really go out and find that information and use it. Some of that had been 40, almost 50 years required by the State Land Master Plan related to Forest Preserve, and they hadn't done it. Case in point, the recreation carrying capacity of water bodies, a very controversial thing. DEC has not really wanted to engage it. And again, those were the kinds of things that I thought I was bringing a skill set to help them do it in a way that would be useful to management and to planning. They didn't want to engage it.
Was that approach during the December meeting representative of your entire time on the APA, or was this sort of a gradual culture shift that you noticed in the agency?
A little of both. There had always been a shaping of the agenda and a formulating it in a way that presentations were made, and the board had little time to react to them, very little discussion time. And so it kind of thwarted discussion. But previously, in the early part of my tenure with the board, there had been some really outstanding leadership. Sherman Craig, certainly, I'd say, was absolutely outstanding chair. Karen Feldman, who resigned about a little over a year ago, from the board as the acting chair. And they had really helped us focus as a board so that there was some way in which one could ask questions and one could find out as the coming up to the meeting, get additional information so that you were better informed when you got there. We don't really have that in the last year. There hasn't been a chair. And that has, I think, further exacerbated the problem of the board being a little disconnected from the process and being forced to make decisions without having as much time as they would like, often, to be able to get further information or dig a little more deeply into a subject.
In a year in review email from the Adirondack Council sent in December, the group wrote that as the year ends, quote, the APA is in crisis again. What do you think of that description, and how best should the agency move forward?
I think it's an apt description. The agency is understaffed. In my opinion, underfunded. They're understaffed in two ways. One is from the historic levels of staffing, as well as the more recent levels of staffing. They don't have very many people in planning. They could always use more people in engineering. They could always use more people in various aspects of the role of the agency. There's not a board chair. There hasn't been one in a year. That makes the board less effective. And I think it's put a burden on the executive director in having to partially function as one of the leaders for the board. So there's been a strain on the agency. I think its mission has been difficult because of that. And is there a crisis? I think there is. If you look at over the years, their job is to protect the environment. Not everyone would agree that they've been completely successful because of the political pressures. I don't know how one changes that over time, but I still believe in the mission of the agency. I think it's an extraordinarily important function, and they have a very difficult job to do because saying no to people who want different things, who demand it, claim it's their right or their privilege, they really come before the board, and the board is put in a difficult position every time of saying no or yes, but under these circumstances, it's not an easy job, and it's not doesn't get easier from year to year because people do want many different things. Different political actors want to see things accomplished, the local level, the county level, the state level, and they all view the agency as an impediment. I view the agency as an important balancing function in our government, and I applaud their efforts.
Do you think Governor Andrew Cuomo, during his 10-plus years in office, has been a good steward of the Adirondack Park?
It's a difficult question to answer. I'm not sure in his busy role for the whole state of New York how much time and effort he thinks about or spends on that. And I never know who in the executive branch is doing things because that's what the governor wanted versus that's what they wanted, and they're doing it in the governor's name, et cetera. You don't know motives or how things happen. I will say that environmental protection in the Adirondacks has been lessened to some degree, and the emphasis on the agency has been lessened to some degree. Who causes that? I don't know. Do we do it as a society? Is it done by the executive? It's a very complex system. And again, I'll come back to the agency being one of the balancing forces that has a very difficult job, and people are very pro-development. So they have a very steep hill to climb every time, every day they go out. So again, I do applaud their efforts.
We've been speaking with Chad Dawson and talking about his 4-plus years on the Adirondack Park Agency. Chad, thank you so much for making the time, and thanks for your service to the board.
Thank you for asking me to speak with you today.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.